Here is Radio New York Folk Music Worldwide. A program devoted to the best in folk music throughout the world, showcasing the top performers and authorities in the field. Now your host for Folk Music Worldwide, Alan Wasser.
With us today is a new group of bluegrass musicians called the Dillards. We'll be talking to them and finding out where they get their material and how they do it. But first, why don't we listen to a selection of their music called Reuben's Train.
You could hear the whistle blow 100 miles.
That was Reuben's Train, as done by the Dillards on their album Back Porch Bluegrass. Let's meet the Dillards now. First, let me introduce the group's spokesman and bass player, Mitchell Jane.
Thank you very much, Al. And I'd like to introduce the other boys. On my right here is Rodney Dillard and Dean Webb, who plays the mandolin. Rodney plays the guitar, of course, and does most of the singing. And Doug Dillard, who's our banjo picker.
You guys all were from the same area, Missouri, right?
Well, the Dillards and myself are from a little town about 70 miles from the Arkansas line called Salem, Missouri, and Dean's from a little bit north of us, Independence, Missouri.
Had you known each other before you got together as a musical group?
Well, yes, for quite some time. I live about 5 miles southeast of Salem. I have a farm there, and the Dillard boys come from a farm about that far south of Salem.
Are you still running the farm?
Well, it's sort of sitting there waiting for me to come back, and the thing is, like most musicians in the Ozarks, especially people who are interested in bluegrass, we had gotten together for a long time previous to that. As a matter of fact, I've known the Dillard boys, I guess, since about 1952.
On the album, it says, Reuben's Train is an example of the Dillard sound, in quotes. What is the Dillard sound?
Well, that's a good question, Al. I don't know, Rod, do you think you would feel qualified to tell them what the Dillard sound was?
I guess when you sing the way you feel in your own style, that is your sound. The songs that we do on this album are the songs that sort of float around the Ozarks, and different people sing these songs, and we just pick them up and put our arrangements to them, or maybe do them in the old style.
Well, did you learn them around your own home growing up?
Well, yes, around my parents and my relation. We used to play for square dances and different things.
Another song here I see is Old Joseph. Where's that from? Or do you know anything about it?
Well, Doug and Dean are the two fellows that worked that out. Suppose you tell them, gentlemen.
Well, it's a kind of a screwball arrangement of an old fiddle tune, old Joe Clark, and we use a detuning on the mandolin, similar to Bill Monroe's Get Up John tuning he uses, and just play the tune in this tuning, and it comes out sounding different, so we call it a little different name there.
Well, let's listen to old Joseph then. Well, that was Old Joseph, as arranged by the Dillards. There's something interesting about these guys. I'm sitting with them now for quite a while, and they're all in unusual outfits. And most people around New York you see in ties and white shirts and jackets, and these guys are still in blue jeans and sport shirts. Haircuts a little bit more standard in Missouri. Is this part of the act, or is it just you feel like staying this way?
What you mean by the haircuts is we haven't had any, I know. I think we all have sort of individual feelings about what we wear and how we look. We do want to try and give as natural an appearance to reflect the part of the country and the culture we come from as well as we can without having to make a studied thing out of it. So we just sort of dress the way we always did at home. I mean, as far as what we wear on stage, we have... I guess you could call it a costume if you want to. It's really a problem in bluegrass today to try to figure out how to dress so that you can keep your own personality, because most bluegrass groups, they run the whole gamut from the sequin suits, you know, with flamingos and things on the front, down to shirts and ties and the big cowboy hats and so forth. And our music, actually, just like the Dillard family, goes back an awful long way. And consequently, we've tried to reflect both the dress and the music of a period that was probably, I guess you'd put it, in the late 1800s. Consequently, on stage we wear buckskin shirts, which gets pretty hot, I assure you, at times. And I think in our everyday dress we try to reflect the part of the country we come from without shaming anybody and so forth. And down home we have a tendency to let our hair get a little bit long. There's not too much to cut it for, you know. In the wintertime you need a little something back there.
Well, let's get another song in here while we've got time. How about Polly Vaughan? Anyone want to say something about that before we play it?
Yeah, I want to say something about that.
Okay, Mitchell, go ahead.
This is a song that's quite different from what most bluegrass outfits are doing. This is one reason why we have a tendency to refer to our music, both kiddingly among ourselves and also to people who are interested in it, as Dillard Grass, because we don't copy anybody's style. We don't copy anybody's songs. I think that if there is any strength in what we're doing, that's where it lies. The fact that most of the material we're doing is either stuff we've written ourselves or it has come naturally from the peculiar heritage of our part of the country. Polly Vaughan is a folk song in the best sense of the word. Down in our part of the country, you always have two or three old women who live up in some steep side holler, and they can sing some of these old songs, not usually very well. But we kept the words and kept the tune to this song and have tried to give it the Dillard Grass sound. And I think the words are real interesting. It's a good story, and the song hasn't been done enough. I hope you like Polly Vaughan.
Well, let's hear then Polly Vaughan.
Grand Forest run. Oh, and a lassie for she probably was. He ran beside her and saw that it was she. Frank Polly, oh Polly, have I killed thee? He lifted up her head and saw that she was dead, and a fountain of tears for his true love he shed. For she'd her apron wrapped about her, and he took her for a swan. Oh, and alas, it was she probably won. In the middle of the night, Polly Vaughn did appear. Frank, Jimmy, oh Jimmy, you must have no fear. Tell them you were hunting when your trial day has come, and you won't be convicted for what you have done. For I'd my apron wrapped about me, and you took me for a swan. Oh, and alas, it was me, Polly Vaughn. In the middle of the trial, Polly Vaughn did appear, crying, Uncle, oh, Uncle, Jimmy ran the stood around in a row. In the middle, Polly Vaughn, like some fountain of snow. For she'd her apron wrapped about her, and they took her for a swan. Oh, and alas, it was she, Polly Vaughn. Oh, and alas, it was she, Polly Vaughn.
Well, that was Polly Vaughn, as done by the Dillards. Doug, I see here on the album you've got 32 banjo pickers, numerous fiddlers, and guitar players in the immediate ancestry. These are all Dillards, or?
Yes, most of them were Dillards and cousins, distant cousins. Our father is an old-time fiddler. He's a pretty good old-time fiddler from Tennessee, and most our relation came from Tennessee, and they settled in Missouri.
What do they think about a group of the Dillard boys coming off to New York and making the big-time circuit?
They're all very proud of us.
Well, we'll be back talking to the Dillards again in a moment, but first, let's just get this message. Well, this is Alan Wasser again, back at Folk Music Worldwide on Radio New York. We're talking to the Dillards, back porch bluegrass singers, as it says on their album. We'll be talking to them again in a moment. First, let me just say this. We've been getting some letters from around the world and from various listeners, and always anxious in getting more. Want to know if anybody's out there listening to us. Just write in to either me, Alan Wasser, or to the show, Folk Music Worldwide, Radio New York Worldwide, New York 19, USA. And if you didn't get the address, Mel Burnham will give it to you again at the end of the show. Well, let's get back to the Dillards. Talk to them some more on their music. Part of the country. You do, I see, instrumentals and vocals. Which do you prefer to do?
Well, we try to get a pretty good balance in of both, because there are people who like both. The college kids are the ones who are becoming the most interested in the fast banjo picking, the instrumentals. Of course, the songs are, they're worth reproducing. We have a lot of songs that we have tried and decided we didn't want to do, but the few songs that we come up with, we feel are the best selection we could make for what we do. I think we have about an equal number of instrumentals and vocals.
Which instruments do you use?
We have, almost exclusively in here in New York, we've used the bass, the banjo, the guitar, and the mandolin. We don't have a fiddler. The mandolin, of course, is tuned like a fiddle and does a lot of the old fiddle tunes real well. Dean's an excellent mandolin player, and for instance, tunes like Old Joseph have almost always been done with a fiddle. And this also gets back to what the Dillard sound is. The Dillard sound is sort of bluegrass without a fiddle, you might say, letting the mandolin do the job.
We also use a dobro once in a while. We used a dobro on one of the cuts on this album. But unfortunately, my dobro is gone now, so we don't use it much anymore.
What's a dobro?
What is it? It's the Edsel of the guitar family, as Mitch calls it. It's a
guitar with a
It
hot
was a
player.
First attempt at trying to amplify a musical instrument, and it is done by having a duraluminum cone in the center of it, which resonates and gives it a real twangy sound, real corny sound, you might say.
And you're not using this anymore?
No, but it on one cut in that album, it's on there.
I'm surprised. I never thought of the mandolin as a bluegrass instrument. Somehow I always think of it as an old European-type instrument. Is it common, Missouri?
Well, of course it is a European instrument, but you have to remember that Bill Monroe is the man who coined the term bluegrass and developed the bluegrass sound into what it is. And Bill Monroe is a mandolin player, primarily. Dean could tell you a lot more about the mandolin than I could. It's an Italian instrument, isn't it, Dean?
Yes, that's true. I don't know much to say about it.
Well, I don't know where it came from. I mean, I don't know how it got here, but it's such an integral part of bluegrass that you couldn't have a bluegrass band without a mandolin.
Well, Dean, where did you learn to play it?
No, just listening to Monroe and most of the other players. That's what inspired me to want to play that instrument.
Well, was it a local instrument before Monroe made it popular, or did he just introduce it?
He heard a few mandolin pickers down in that part of the country, but he more or less pioneered it, the style of playing it.
I see. Now, Doug's tune, which instruments are used in that one?
Primarily the banjo. Doug wrote the tune himself, which is, of course, why we ran across that novel name for it. And I don't know whether Doug had this formulated in his mind. I guess I could ask him, come think of it.
If we can drag him over to a microphone.
Yeah, we could probably fetch him up to one, but it's a little different thing than is being done on the banjo nowadays. How did you come up with that, Douglas?
These tunes that I come up with, Mitch, I usually don't think about them too much in advance. I usually just play them as they come to me. I'm just sort of inspired from here and there, and I just sort of pick them out of the hat.
This is true of almost everything we play, Al. This is a very inspirational type of music, if you can use that without, you know, making it sound like a religious terminology. We've run across more and more people who have learned this music from other people and, have learned it from other bands and things. This, I think more with the Dillards than with many groups that we've met, is a family type thing. You have heard it for so many years. This is the music you were raised with, born with. And that's why, as Doug says, it has to be inspirational. You can't sit down and say, today I'm going to write a banjo tune. It will have, you know, such and such type of rhythm and so on. You sit around and you pick till you get a good sound, and then the guitar picker gets an idea and he falls in behind you, and first thing you know, you've put something together.
Well, let's listen to an inspirational song, Doug's tune.
Fine.
That was Doug's tune, named after Doug Dillard, who wrote it. We're running out of time, but real quick, let me just ask you, Mitch, how have you been getting along? Have you been succeeding in getting a name made for yourself?
We've had some pretty fantastic luck, Al. When we went to Hollywood, we got right on the Andy Griffith Show out there. Extraordinary piece of good luck for us because he's a real nice fellow and very understanding about the music. And we've done a couple of shows there, have another one coming up. We'll be at the Newport Folk Festival late part of July.
Let's mention again your record, Back Porch Bluegrass, the Dillards on Elektra. That's your only record so far? Got another one coming?
That's the only one we've had time to make. We're supposed to make another one the next month.
Also on Elektra.
Right.
Well, really enjoyed this. Thank you very much for coming in. We've been talking to the Dillards, and this is Alan Wasser, Folk Music Worldwide.
This has been Folk Music Worldwide. Devoted to the best in folk music throughout the world, spotlighting top performers and authorities in the field. If you have any suggestions, requests, or comments, why not write in to Folk Music Worldwide, Radio New York, WRUL, New York City, 19 USA. This has been a Music Worldwide presentation of Radio New York Worldwide.